Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide, the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Wednesday, May 10th, 2023, hump day, crossover day here on the Civic Media Radio Network, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. We welcome in, as per usual, the great program host that comes on before us from 6 until 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network, the host of Up North News. It is Mr. Pat Kreitlow. Mr. Kreitlow, how are you this morning?
Good morning. What do I always say? It's another beautiful day up north. So looking good here. The lake is calm. It's more and more people getting their boat lifts and docks put in. Our pontoon probably isn't that far away from going on there. And at some point, we're going to do that first pontoon show.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah,
and we're going to do it the first time just to impress you. We'll do it on some Wednesday morning.
Sure.
And then the second time, you're going to be on the boat too.
Oh.
And you can do your show from the pontoon.
I'm all for it. I love a good pontoon. That's fantastic. You had Secretary of Tourism on this morning speaking of great things up north. And the tourism season is shaping up pretty quickly.
As well it should. This is a beautiful place. And like I said, in our show, there are many ways to divide Wisconsinites, you know, red and blue. And, you know, are you Marquette or Badgers? But, you know, one of the things we can all agree on is how much we love going on a road trip around the state and seeing some place that we haven't seen before. This is an awesome place to live.
It is. Your fellow Up North News native, Mr. Trygve Olsen, now the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, also joins us live this morning. Trygve, we appreciate you coming in and joining us this morning. Gentlemen, news from last night, according to it is Mika Solar, the congressional reporter for Punchbowl News, saying that new last night, U.S. Congressman Tom Tiffany, Toxic Tom from Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, quote, tells me we can expect a Senate announcement likely this summer. It appears that Tom is going to jump into the punch bowl of the U.S. Senate race against Tammy Baldwin. Pat Kreitlow, what say you?
I'm still skeptical. And again, that's just a gut feeling of mine. I think that Tom Tiffany is like so many others. He sees that he's got a good gig. It pays well. It pays very well by Up North standards. He's got a lock on it. That district is gerrymandered now. And even with redrawn maps, it would still skew heavily Republican for the foreseeable future. So unless he's got some kind of a plan for after he gets shellacked by Tammy Baldwin, I don't see that he would do anything other than make some noise, raise some funds, and then say, yeah, you know, I've thought about it really hard. I've prayed on it. And this just doesn't seem to be like the right time. And if that sounds cynical, well, then color me cynical. But I've been to this rodeo a few times. If I'm wrong, I'll say I'm wrong. But right now, that's where I stand on Tom Tiffany's alleged Senate campaign.
Trygve Olsen, what say you?
I have nothing to add other than if you do these shows from the pontoon boat, I want to be on the back grilling brats and drinking lines.
I would love that. That would be perfect. See, every boat needs a cook. So now we've
100%.
Got one. All right. I'm a happy captain that way. I will note as well, though, about Tammy Baldwin. There, you know, there's a good little Bruce Murphy column that went up just yesterday about it. And how, look, you've got The Hill saying Tammy Baldwin is one of the 8 most vulnerable. CNN's got her on a list of top 6 seats that are vulnerable. And I really think, like, them with Punchbowl, they're just looking for anything to talk about and any statistic to grab onto to say, okay, here's some copy right now. And, you know, by contrast, they quote Jennifer Rubin from The Washington Post, who is no, you know, lefty, talking about, she says, Tammy Baldwin has picked the lock on split ticket voters in Wisconsin. And again, until I see some kind of change, that's where I'm going to stand on that.
Well, I do have a thought on that. I mean, I obviously am paid to follow that pretty closely and make decisions about it. The only reason that they're citing Tammy Baldwin as vulnerable is because, quite honestly, there's so few seats given what Republicans are going to nominate for candidates. You know, Doug Mastriano versus Bill Casey isn't much of a matchup, right?
No.
You know, Rosendale versus Tester, I'm skeptical that Rosendale, even in Montana, can get elected, even in a presidential year. And the reality is they're fishing. They want to be balanced when there isn't balance. And Jen's right. Jen Rubin is right. You know, Tanny Baldwin is the best example, I think, for Democrats that you can be true to your principles, or one of the best. You can be true to your principles and who you are and attract the kind of voters that you need to in suburban areas and exurbs in Wisconsin and in wet places like Western Wisconsin.
And I would put Tester in that from a Montana standpoint, mm-hmm. as proof that you don't have to be a complete sellout like a Joe Manchin, mm-hmm. to be the kind of candidates that that Tester and Tammy Baldwin are.
Pat, you Gretchen Whitmer is another one.
Yes. Yeah, very much so.
Pat, you live up there on Lake Wastota. You're on the ground all the time. You're going to fish fries. You're enjoying a beverage now and again at a local bar. You hear folks up in northern Wisconsin. Do you hear this clamoring of anti-Tammy Baldwin rhetoric, or is it just the opposite? No. People seem to be pretty happy with her.
It's the opposite, and especially in a presidential year, many voters who see themselves as moderate are looking for a reason to say, I vote both ways. And so they're going to vote for Tammy Baldwin, and they're going to vote for whoever the Republican presidential nominee is, who I don't think is going to be Donald Trump. But they will look for reasons to split that ticket. And so unless, you know, Joe Biden really, really stumbles next year, I think that's the scenario we're going to see.
You can listen to Pat every morning, 6 until 8 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, Pat. We appreciate you. Stay with us. Back with more at Trigby after this. This is the Todd Oddball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Show, it is now 8:15 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Mr. Zommer is a little music to get us up, get us going there. One of Trigby's favorites, I know, right? Oh, he's off the air right now. All right. Welcome back. Trigby Olson, Senior Advisor for the Lincoln Project, is with us this morning. Trigby, we appreciate you taking the time on a Wednesday, as always. A newsy day overnight and this morning. Donald J. Trump, first president to get or to have a libel conviction on sexual assault in American history. The former president was found, they call it libel. It's there's nuances in the law between guilty and not guilty, but essentially libel of sexual assault against E.J. Carroll. He was found innocent on the civil charge of rape, but found liable in terms of sexual assault and defamation. The court ordered Trump to pay $5 million to E.J. Carroll. She seemed pretty satisfied. And I want to be very careful about this, at least on my end here this morning, because rape is nothing to make a joke or make light of in any way, shape, or form. But I found it interesting. And it seems to me that E.J. Carroll may have dealt Donald Trump the biggest blow, which was not to his checkbook, but to his ego. Because the reason, as I listen to people like Ricky Klayman on CBS and other lawyers and legal analysts, the reason that most legal analysts say that she was found, that Trump was found innocent, quote unquote, on the rape charge, was that E.J. Carroll on the stand told the truth when asked whether or not she could tell whether Trump, for lack of a better term, penetrated her. She testified the truth and said, I don't know. I don't know whether it was a digit or his genitalia. And so the reason that he got off on the rape charge is because she was honest. And she said, I honestly don't know. He was covering things up. I just don't know. She was honest about that. And a credit to her about that. But the fact that she said what she said, and I won't repeat it, that has to be a huge blow to Donald Trump's manhood and his ego. So I found that just interesting. But on the larger picture, Trump is found liable on the sexual harassment and the defamation charge.
Yeah, you know, this is, the reality that we have devolved into such conversations because of one man's ego and narcissism, and quite frankly, just outrageous behavior and belief that he's beyond the law on any and every level. And that man was in the White House is sad, because most of the Americans who voted for Donald Trump, 99.9% of them, would never live their lives the way that he does. They haven't been even accused of those kinds of things. And so, you know, but it's also hard to talk about in the sense that Donald Trump politicizes everything. And in truth, on some level, I think Donald Trump, well, taking the ego blow and all the rest of it, he has no shame. And he's already raising money off of this. And I think what's an even bigger issue is you have people like Marco Rubio, who are supposed to be serious politicians, basically saying that the jury is a joke. And the idea that you have people who are supposed to be serious people, let alone United States senators, suggesting that a jury of his peers is a joke, undermines basically one of the foundational tenets of the Constitution, which people like Marco Rubio claim to carry around in their pockets.
Right.
And have taken an oath to God, which Marco Rubio tweets Bible quotes all the time, kind of like a former governor of Wisconsin, which he's taken an oath to uphold to God. That's nuts.
That's the really interesting. Well, a lot of it is interesting to me, but I'll disagree with my colleague from up north, Pat Kreitlow, who just said before the last break that he doesn't think Trump's going to be the nominee. I do, because what you're saying and looking at some of these things. Here's Steve Daines, who just endorsed Trump. He reacted to the verdict this way, saying, "Sounds like President Trump's legal team will be appealing this decision." Rubio says the jury is a joke. The whole case is a joke. Here's a U.S. Senator, Tommy Tuberville, former big college football coach, now in the U.S. Senate, says the New York verdict against Trump, quote, "makes me want to vote for him twice. They're going to do anything they can to keep him from winning. It ain't going to work. People are going to see through the lines. A New York jury, he had no chance." Makes me want to vote for him twice. U.S. Senator, Republican, Tommy Tuberville.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to tell you other than this is the way that people with autocratic personality disorder like Donald Trump, when they gain power, corrupt all that they touch. And, you know, I think my colleague who you've had on the show, Rick Wilson, "Everything Trump Touches Dies" was the name of one of his books. That's what we're seeing in those quotes. These are United States senators. They're supposed to be serious people. I wonder if Ron John has weighed in yet. I haven't seen. Only a matter of time.
Yeah, right. I'm anxiously anticipating Senator Johnson's response. Let's do give credit where credit's due. The one Republican senator I did find that had a decent reaction, U.S. Senator Mitt Romney, quote, "The jury reached their decision, and I hope the jury of the American people reached the same conclusion. We need a different nominee to be the nominee for president. He is in no position to be president of the United States," unquote, Mitt Romney.
Here's the thing. I think, you know, I think what Pat was expressing is not, I hear that from people who have been on the Democrat side all the time. It's their hope that sanity prevails. I think it's our hope as former Republicans that sanity prevails, but there's nothing in the polling in terms of quantitative evidence or in terms of qualitative evidence that Donald Trump's hold on the Republican Party is waning. In fact, there was just a poll that came out that shows him at 66%, with DeSantis lagging, you know, 20. I have access to non-public research, same thing. There is nothing that is suggesting that Donald Trump is fading in terms of his control of the Republican Party. And quite frankly, those United States senators who are saying that, Tuberville might believe it. I don't believe that Marco and Steve Daines, who are both pretty, I don't know what they are, but they're, I'm not sure they believe it, but they want to be in the United States Senate. And they know that the next time they have a primary, if they say anything different, it could be an issue. Ron DeSantis in the leaked debate tapes basically showed it to the world. I don't know if you saw that, but like Ron DeSantis basically was in a debate prep where he was saying, I can't offend his voters.
Right.
Even he knows.
Give people a little taste, Trigvi, I don't want to go too far into the weeds, but a quick 101 on presidential primaries. I think a lot of Democrats, because it's a different system, right? They have these called super delegates on the Democratic side. And I think most people would agree that if they didn't have super delegates, where kind of party leadership gets essentially extra votes in layman's terms, Bernie Sanders would have been the nominee and not Hillary Clinton in 2016. It would just be a straight, popular vote. On the Republican side, it's much more just a straight line other than the Iowa caucuses, which is a whole other kettle of fish. But elsewhere, besides the caucus states, it is whoever wins the most votes. One person gets one vote in the Republican primary, and that's who wins in that particular state. And in a crowded field, which 2024 is shaping up to once again, Donald Trump only has to get 30% of these of the vote in these crowded primaries, and he's the nominee.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say, the actual process when you're on the inside of a presidential primary campaign and how it's perceived sometimes by people in general, even those who pay attention to politics, is a little different. So on the Republican side, no candidate in the modern era has been elected president without winning Iowa or New Hampshire, has been the party's nominee without winning Iowa or New Hampshire. Typically what happens is somebody wins one, George W. Bush, somebody wins the other, John
big
McCain
Mo.
In New Hampshire.
The big Mo.
And then it goes to South Carolina and South Carolina breaks the tie. Mm-hmm. So much of your calculus as you're mapping out a strategy is, all right, where can I make a play? Iowa or New Hampshire? And then how does South Carolina look? And each of those states is very different in terms of what they look for to some degree. There is nothing to suggest that Donald Trump is in peril in Iowa. I don't see that happening. New Hampshire, if somebody were going to stop him, probably would be the place, but pulling out in New Hampshire shows him strong. And furthermore, do you really think anybody's going to beat Donald Trump in South Carolina?
No.
I mean, I can tell you, Todd, when I worked on the McCain campaign, I got sent to South Carolina to deal with some stuff. I had never stepped foot in the state, and I could have just as well landed on Mars, because mm-hmm. this Confederate boy from Western Wisconsin could not understand those people. They did not want him there. They certainly did not want me laying down the law about what they were going to need to be doing. And it's just a completely different place.
It is. I've never been to South Carolina. I've been in North Carolina once. I went down to visit a friend who was actually there for work. This is like 15 years ago, and was in like the High Point area. And I tell people, I'm not making this up. Literally, it was a railroad track, and it was white on one side, and it was black on the other. I'm talking about the people, and it was a completely different world, and I couldn't get out of there fast enough.
It's just very different. I mean, it's just, I could understand Iowa. I could understand New Hampshire. I couldn't understand South Carolina. And the truth of the matter is that, any of those states, I mean, the place that in theory you could stop Donald Trump is New Hampshire. I'm doubtful. Right now we're in the stage of the primary process where it's all about raising money and buzz. Donald Trump is dominating both of those inevitably. He's dominating money because, unlike other candidates in the past who need to get big dollar donations, Donald Trump is able to raise his money through small dollar online donations. And Donald Trump has dominated his ability to get buzz. What's different that I don't think Democrats realize is this time, with Susie Wiles and Chris LaCivita, and in the interest of full disclosure, Chris and I have known each other and been friends, quite frankly, for a long time. They're running his campaign. They're serious people. Chris LaCivita just got done running Ron Johnson's reelect. He knows how to win in places like Wisconsin with candidates like Ron Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a very different Trump campaign. You do not have the cast of clowns that you had was basically four guys in Donald Trump's airplane in 2016. And in 2020, it was basically all these people that were working in the White House who, you know, or head that were the C team, but they were with Donald Trump. It was their opportunity. That is not what he has this time.
Extraordinarily insightful commentary. That is exactly why Trigvi Olson is here each and every week. We appreciate him back with more of his insight, comments, and some fun as well. Stay with us. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Civic Media Radio Network, a little walking on sunshine at 8:33 on the Civic Media Radio Network by request from our guest, Trigvi Olson from Lincoln Project this morning. Kara Foster, I honest to God, I think he enjoys your forecast more than he enjoys the 45 minutes he spends with us on the air. And he's happy because we're hoping for a sunshiny forecast for today.
Well, you're in store for a great day, honestly. thankfully, yeah, the chances for showers, thankfully, since it was so scattered, I mean, that did clear up actually as we headed into today. So looks like just pure sunshine for most of the state. I will say the very northern portion of the state is still seeing some scattered showers, but they should see some sunshine at some point today. So everybody's going to get a little bit today, and it's actually going to be very warm throughout the state. Sunshine in Amory reaching a high of 76. Ooh. Sunny and 77 throughout Wausau, and then sunny and 78. Honestly, could push 80 in a lot of areas throughout the state today. There's going to be no winds either, so it's going to be very still. You're probably going to feel the humidity out there, so it's going to start feeling a lot like summer, especially with that humidity just kind of sticking in the air. Now, tonight is when we do see that first chance for scattered showers throughout. I'd say the western and northern portions could see more of that scattered chance overnight, but it's only 30%. We'll dip down to 57 in Amory, 51 and clear over in Wausau, and then partly cloudy 51 again over in Richland Center. Now for tomorrow, kind of the same thing, just kind of scattered showers throughout the state. Some areas will see showers, some areas will not, but everyone will see some sunshine, which is really, really nice. Now, we are reaching a high of 74 in Amory. We're still hitting the upper 70s throughout the central and southern portion of the state, which is nice on Thursday. Sunny 77 in Wausau, and then hitting 80 as we head into Richland Center tomorrow with even more sunshine. Thursday night seems to be kind of the most widespread chance we could see that scattered showers chance, and that will basically continue from Thursday night all the way until Sunday. Areas throughout the state will see at least a small chance for some scattered showers. Highs will get a little bit cooler. We're going to be in the mid 70s as we head into Friday, lower 70s, upper 60s on Saturday, and we'll add a little bit of a breeze out of the east. Easterly winds about 15 to 20, gusting up to 30, but fortunately for Mother's Day, it does actually clear up. We will still see some showers kind of scattered throughout the state, but you will still see kind of clearer parts throughout the day. You should still be able to get outside a little bit, and highs will still be a little bit cooler in the mid 60s, so it's not too bad. And then early next week, we're actually going to clear up and dry up a bit, and we'll be in the upper 60s, mid 70s with a lot of sunshine. So I know we had a lot of chances for rain. It's basically been chance of rain, chance of rain, chance of rain here. It won't be like that as much next week, so we can enjoy it a little bit more. I'm meteorologist Kara Foster.
All right, Kara, this is very good news that it's not going to be an all-day rain event on Mother's Day, because I'm not sure what other people do with their moms, but traditionally, I like to go back to Richland Center, and Mom and I hang out on our back deck. We dial up a couple of J. Edgar Hoover pool boys from Milwaukee that come up and just feed us grapes and Fanta all afternoon out the deck. So we'll be able to get outside and do that. So we're looking forward to that.
Good.
You have any big plans for Mom's Day?
I think my mom will be working that day, which ironically, she'll be working on Mother's Day. But I'll be seeing her on Friday, and I think we'll just be able to get outside if it's not raining too much. But yeah, just do something outdoors as we like to do. We'll see.
All right. Well, enjoy. We'll talk to you tomorrow with a more updated weather forecast for Mom's Day, but looking better. So we thank you, Kara Foster. Have a great day.
Yes. Thanks, you as well.
My pleasure. Thank you so much. Trigvi Olson, Senior Project, our Senior Advisor to the Lincoln Project, joins us every Wednesday. We appreciate him being here. Are you sending your mom anything up there in River Falls for Mom's Day? Do a card, a call?
I have Pearson's Florist in River Falls, a good friend of mine.
Nice. A little plug.
My grade school owns it, and so I got to have a nice conversation. Every time Mother's Day rolls around, I call Joni, and we end up talking for about an hour and catching up, and then she delivers the flowers.
That's fantastic. Yep, Pearson's Floral in River Falls. Endorsed by Trigvi Olson.
Well, Joni, huge fan of Joni. We have been friends forever.
Fantastic. We started a new segment this week, Trigvi, because as you and I well know, as former employees of the state capitol, you spend enough time there, you realize that pretty frequently, there's always a couple of nuts on both sides of the aisles that come up with these ideas that you just think, I mean, my gosh, there's nothing to it. Who the heck thought of this? It just is a lot of hot air. So here we are once again. Here's today's rendition of today's hot air from the Capitol. There you go. That's all we got so far. We're working on the intro. It's the Pac-Man. You like that?
Did Aaron come up with that?
No, that was our writer, Chris Paul. That was
he came up with the idea. Okay. I did put it together.
Yeah, Aaron put it together. Chris came up with the idea. Aaron did all the actual work to put it together. So yeah,
the engineering of it's solid.
All right, there you go. There you go.
Copy editing might need some work, but it's all right.
It's a great team effort. It's a great team. There's a writer strike going on, for God's sake. I mean,
did you use ChatGPT to put that together?
I did not.
There will be no ChatGPT on this show as long as I'm the host.
Hey, how do you know? Maybe I've been using it to write the show descriptions the whole time.
Oh my gosh! Please tell me no.
I haven't.
Oh, that's the AI stuff. That's all. That's a story for another day. But that stuff scares me. I don't want it. You can have it. That's too complicated for me. Jason Calvi, who is from Fox 6 Now in Milwaukee, tweeted this out last night. Newly elected Wisconsin State Senator Dan Knodel, who signed on to the January 5, 2021 letter urging then Vice President Pence to postpone counting Electoral College votes for 10 days. Guess what? He will now chair the Wisconsin Senate Committee on Shared Revenue, Elections, and Consumer Protection, according to Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu. Letter said the extra 10 days would afford the state legislature time to, quote unquote, meet, investigate, and as a body vote on certification or decertification of the election. This action can be completed prior to the inauguration date as required by the Constitution, unquote. Trigvi Olson, as you and I are places where you and I are from, it seems like the fox has been put in charge of the hen house.
As I said on Twitter when you tweeted that out last night, it's just so ridiculous. It's honestly, and here's the thing. At the end of the day, my second thought on it was, all this is going to do is get a bunch of lawyers rich as it works its way to the Supreme Court.
Right.
Literally within minutes of it all going down after the election. I mean, but this gets to a bigger point. Like, there is a movement on the far right in the United States to try and, you know, it's like the, I forget what the name of the case is. It's like the universal voter clause or something that says state legislatures should have the right to confirm elections and overturn them or just flat out change them. There's a bunch of groups, like, for example, in Missouri, that have been passing legislation to curtail voting, not just, you know, sort of things like voter ID, but like actually the process in terms of who observes. And this is all being done not with with an intention of trying to determine who wins and loses elections.
No, there was a case in Texas, what, a week or two ago, where the Texas State Senate passed a bill saying that basically the legislature could overturn the election results in the large or the largest blue county surrounding Houston in Texas this week.
Yeah. You know, and in the state of Wisconsin, we haven't seen that. There was in the early 1900s, late 1800s, when La Follette, the Follette was governor and Republicans had dominated,
right,
an attempt to eliminate third parties from the ballot, which actually succeeded in some ways. And they basically went with Australian ballot rules because there were all these third parties popping up that were a threat to the Republican Party and their dominance, which they held for a long time. So there is a little bit of a track record, but you would think, well, actually, if you think about what's been going on in Wisconsin lately, it kind of has been like 1843 most of the time.
Right.
The issues like choice. And so, the idea that they would put this guy in charge of elections, the fact that he's laying out what he wants to do, the fact that he said, before the election for Supreme Court, well, if she wins, we'll just impeach her. Like, this is a guy who wants to use, and he is dangerous. We make light of it, but people like that are dangerous because, quite frankly, he wants to hold the institutions of power to maintain and power for an agenda. And so I think, the guy is dangerous.
The case you're referring to, Matt Flynn, yesterday, Matt Flynn direct 3 o'clock until 4 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Of course, an attorney himself. It's called the Independent State Legislature Theory. The case is Moore v. Harper. And this is deadly serious. Long story I won't go into, but I had the occasion to talk to the dean of the current dean of the University of Wisconsin-Madison Law School last fall. And this came up, and he's an expert on this, on election law and voting in America. And he said that if the Supreme Court finds in favor of this, he said to be, quote, "I don't know that democracy can survive," unquote. Because that's how serious this is. Because if the Supreme Court finds in favor of this, it would it would put the decision about the validity of elections into the hands of state legislatures. And here's the kicker. It would not allow any appeal. It could be appealed to the Supreme Court of Wisconsin. It could not be appealed to the United States Supreme Court. It is completely at the hands of the state legislature. And now you've got people, Senate Majority Leader LeMahieu, putting this guy, Dan Knoedl, who, as to your point, doesn't apparently believe in the free and fair election process.
Well, he believes in free and fair elections if he wins. I didn't hear him saying any calling into question, quite frankly. And Protasevich won his district. I didn't see him calling into question the voting in Redwood Shores or anywhere else in his district in that election. Mm-hmm. So if he wins an election, he's all in favor. It's on the up and up. It's when his side loses that he seems to have problems with elections, even when they won in a bunch of other places. I mean, the truth of the matter is, if you're honest about it, Donald Trump lost Wisconsin because he underperformed all the other Republicans who were running, because you had all kinds of people like my beer-drinking buddies and Pat's beer-drinking buddies and people like you and I who are conservatives who said Donald Trump is a bridge too far. We're not doing this. And yet these guys, again, all to appease the ruler of the Republican Party, Donald Trump, the leader of the Republican Party, to appease him, were signing on to letters to basically overturn what the voters of Wisconsin had done. And quite frankly, that's something that should just irritate the daylights out of everyone in the state of Wisconsin. And what the good people of the northern suburbs of Milwaukee were doing, putting this clown in office, is beyond me, because this is no Alberta darling.
No, I kind of alluded to that in a joking manner, but in all seriousness, look, I didn't agree with everything that Senator Darling said, but she wasn't an evil person. She believed in the fundamental tenets of democracy and free elections. I can tell you that from sitting in a lot of meetings with her.
She was one of the nicest ladies you'd ever. Yeah. I remember when I worked for Bill Burnt, man, after she got elected, she brought cookies one day to her office.
Did she really?
Yeah, she did. Now, granted, she wanted something out of us on some issue, but
she was a good politician.
You got to give the lady credit,
right?
Like, she did. She had baked cookies.
Oh, Alberta, God love her. We'll get the answer on the other side of the break. You can think about it over the break, Trigvi. But the question I want to ask you is, what's your advice to those of us that are just intersecting with people on our main streets across Wisconsin? Should we be asking our state legislators, hey, do you agree with former Speaker Paul Ryan? Do you agree with Robin Voss that we should not support Donald Trump? Should we be asking, holding our state legislators accountable? We'll get the answer from Trigvi on the other side. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 8:50. You got Trigvi in tears. What do you dial up there, Mr. Zombers?
It says, Lay All Your Love on Me by ABBA.
Very good. That's right. You cannot get enough ABBA. You cannot get enough ABBA. But Kane Palin, that's where we're at right now.
Can we get a billboard campaign going with your face on it all across Wisconsin? Take a chance on me?
Yes.
The Todd Allball Show.
Yes. That's exactly it. If Sage Weil, our CEO, is listening, that's what we want. The Todd Allball Show. Take a chance on me. Take a chance on me. Thank you. The check is in the mail, Trigvi, for your marketing genius there. We appreciate that.
Not needed.
So we're talking before the break here about the fact that Paul Ryan is on the record as saying, former speaker, former U.S. congressman, saying he will not be in Milwaukee next summer in 2024 at the Republican National Convention if Donald J. Trump is the nominee. In all likelihood, he will. And this week, early this week or late last week, Robin Voss, as I believe at a press event, Assembly Speaker of Wisconsin, Robin Voss, and the subject of Trump came up. And Mr. Zomers, do we have that queued up? And if we could take Speaker Voss's comments this week.
But I don't want to nominate people who can't win. I do not want to nominate losers. And that is exactly what I believe will occur if Donald Trump is the nominee. We know how this is going to end. I said to one of my colleagues the other day, I imagine at the time, if the captain of the Titanic could go back 6 hours ahead of time and warn himself, like, hey, this isn't going to work out well, he would have probably adjusted the ship. We have that chance now as Republicans to look and say, we know what's happening. We know how this is going to end. We can turn the course and pick somebody else and probably win because Joe Biden is so incredibly inept and unbelievably weak. There's only, in my mind, one person that he could lose to, or that he could beat, and that's Donald Trump. Well, why would Republicans pick the one person that Joe Biden can beat? That is stupid. So my hope is that we go through a vigorous primary process where we look and say, hey, Nikki Haley, Glenn Youngkin, Ron DeSantis, the whole wide wrath of people. Which one is the most articulate spokesperson to take on Joe Biden? And we don't somehow discount all those people because one very loud person wants another chance to lose. That is not what I want as a Republican.
So there you go. Saying it would be stupid to nominate not Donald Trump, but that Donald Trump is a loser. That's coming from the Republican Speaker of Wisconsin, Robin Voss. What do you make of that?
But there's something even better in that clip. If you're the chair of the philosophy department at Whitewater, you really hope you didn't have Robin Voss in your classes because he just compared himself to the captain of the Titanic. He literally did. Like, what kind of rhetoric and logic is that? And honestly, here's the thing. There is an opportunity in all of this for people who are dealing with the Trump fanatics in your life who you care about, right? And the way that you approach this is not to say to them, did you hear that Robin Voss said Donald Trump is stupid. Mm-hmm. I know that would be the inclination of all of us would want to be to lord it over them a little bit that was said. The way to do this is to say, hey, Todd, I know you're all in. I know you like Trump a lot. And I'm so confused because I just saw that Robin Voss, the Speaker of the State Assembly, called him stupid and said he would lose. What do you think?
That's
and
good.
You respond and then you'd be like, well, and why is Paul Ryan saying he won't go to the convention? But you got to do it like in all seriousness, because the truth of the matter is you get people to find cognitive dissonance by getting them to find it in themselves and have them start asking questions and then lead into Tucker. Don't overdo it. Maybe spread it out over a few times. Mm-hmm. But you need to be. And if they say, well, I hadn't heard that. Well, I'll send it to you. I'd love your thoughts.
And let's face it,
Trump people love to tell you what they think.
Oh, sure. But what do you think about a Republican elected official, state assembly people, state Senate folks on the Republican side? Should we be asking them these same questions? I mean, are you with Robin Voss and Paul Ryan, or are you with Trump?
Yeah, I think that's important. Quite honestly, whoever their opponents are should be asking them that question. And quite frankly, If you're a moderate Democrat, which you need to be running in some of these places, I mean, if we talk honestly about the Democratic Party in the state of Wisconsin, they do not have a single state legislator north of Highway 8.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Right? There is no Bob Joke or Dan Breske. Was it Dan Breske?
Roger
Breske. Yep. There are none of those people. Right. If you're running up there as a Democrat, a common sense Democrat, you should be asking. Well, I'm with Paul Ryan. I don't think we should be at the convention in Milwaukee. What about you? Right?
That's
like
good.
Like they're the ones who should be putting the screws to those candidates. And they should actually go out on the limb and say, I'm with Paul Ryan.
Right.
Start associating themselves. Because listen, you're not gonna win being with the, you know, the Madison crowd. You're gonna win in those kinds of districts by being candidates who are sitting in the center. And if you agree with Paul Ryan on something and you've got far left wingers who are going to hold that against you, like, you got to say to him, who else are you going to vote for? Like, you can continue losing or you can vote for me. And here's why I'm saying that. Because I do agree with Paul Ryan and Robin Voss.
Yeah. The people that want 100% of the loaf, I've never been on with those folks on either side. I mean, and, you know, take 80% and call it a day, or 85. You brought up the name. Let's tuck around and find out. Tucker Carlson saying that he's going to go on to Twitter. And released this on Twitter last night, saying he's taking his show to Twitter, going to break his contract with Fox and go to Twitter. One problem, Elon Musk tweeted last night. He claims he knows nothing about this. Does Twitter go to Fox, or is Elon just lying like he always does? What do you make of that?
I think Tucker will end up sort of in the same place as Megyn Kelly and Bill O'Reilly and Glenn Beck. He's going to be an online lounge act for the far right. Nothing more. He'll be like Katy Perry. Tucker Carlson will be to right wing news what Katy Perry is to pop princesses.
By the way,
lounge act in Vegas.
Did you see Katy Perry was at the King Charles's coronation, dressed all in pink, had a huge hat, was sticking out like a sore thumb, but she couldn't find a seat, and she kept walking around the cathedral looking. Finally, found a seat.
No.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it was. Wow. Ask your daughter about that.
That's hot and cold right there.
Katy Perry was there.
I will ask my daughter. I'm sure they know.
About a minute left. Any hot news tips in D.C. people should know about?
What's the latest? What are people talking about here? Well, you know, everybody's chattering constantly about Trump. And then, you know, it's who's going to rise up and take him on. I mean, that's favorite Republican talking point. Debt ceiling's a huge deal.
Are we going off the cliff or not? Got 30 seconds.
Hopefully, let's hope not. I mean, hopefully common ground gets found. I mean, there should be an effort to find some compromise. I think Biden ultimately do that. Great.
Trigby Olson, Lincoln Project Senior Advisor. Thank you, my friend. See you next week. Back with more after this on the Tom Wall Show. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.